Smart Marketing for Small Business. Smart Marketing for Small Business, a show designed to help you work smarter and hopefully outthink, outsmart, outmaneuver your competition without outspending them. Now, basically, the show is designed to be a show of helping smart thinkers with limited budgets in particular be better marketers, smarter marketers. And this requires a lot of creativity, innovation, and a lot of common sense, which you've often heard me refer to as the uncommon factor in my cynical moods. My name is Leslie Wolf. I am CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And this is a show that means a great deal to me in the fact that I want to be able to take my decades of experience, and when we have guests on, as well as we've had the last several weeks, expose you to additional thinking. But tonight I want to focus on two subjects, creativity and innovation, because one of the keys to being able to outthink your competition and outsmart your competition is learning the basics of creative thinking and innovative thinking. So we're going to cover that tonight, and I think if you have your iPad out, or if not, get a pad and pencil. And while you're doing that, let me talk about some of the other services that we have that we offer for you to help you think better. One of the facts that we have are four LinkedIn groups, one named after this show, Smart Marketing for Small Business. Secondly, Creative Thinkers Forum, where we again focus on creativity. Third is Celebrities for Marketing, and that is where we talk about celebrities and approach questions you might have and ideas we might supply related to the use of celebrities. That comes from years as the business and personal manager of one of the best-known athletes in the world, Smokin' Joe Frazier, the former World Heavyweight Champion. And then we have what I call Fearless Marketers. And Fearless Marketers is designed to focus on people who are willing to be risk takers, careful risk takers, but not mimic marketers. They're not sitting there looking how they can imitate, replicate, or duplicate what others do, but are willing to be original in their thinking. And that's what we're going to encompass a little bit tonight. So, but before that, we have a blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, that you're invited to go visit and participate in. As I said, we want to see you participate in the LinkedIn groups, definitely. You can reach out to us through our email, marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. And we want to hear not only your comments about the show, but what topics would you like us to cover that we may not have covered, or a topic you'd like us to repeat and follow up on? Or do you have ideas and suggestions you would like to bring to the show that would be helpful for your fellow listener? In fact, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just email me at marketingsmartly@AOL.com, outline what it is you're interested in talking about, and give me your contact information, and I will reach out to you. You also can go to our website, smartmarketinggroup.com, and one of the things I'd have you do when you go up there is check out what we call our advisory services. In particular, we created a thing called the Time Block Program. And this was designed, and again, this comes from listening and trying to be a bit innovative. A lot of people wanted help in marketing and management issues, but did not want to get involved in the long-term retainers. So what we came up with was a simple program where a client can buy, purchase, and in a sense put in their little bank account, for lack of a better description, blocks of time. They can buy one block, five blocks, whatever they choose, any number that they want. But those blocks of time, those 60 minutes, are good for 12 months. They're good for a whole year. So when you have a situation comes up, and let's say, for example, you're trying to come up with a good copywriting idea and you have something you want to bounce around, and maybe it takes 10 minutes of your time. So you take 10 minutes, subtract it from 60 minutes, and you've got your answer, but you've got 50 minutes left to utilize later on. So keep that in mind. It's called the Advisory Time Block Program, and you can get information on it up on our website, smartmarketinggroup.com. All right, what we're going to talk about tonight relates to, as I said, creativity and obstacles. Creativity and innovation. But obstacles are a key point, because we tend to have obstacles, or think we have obstacles, as it relates to various aspects of our business. And it is key to be able to look at various aspects of that creativity. I think we're having a technical problem with the radio show. I apologize. I'm trying to see what we can do to get this corrected. So bear with me. And, well, this looks like a little difficulty here, and we see what's happening. Well, let me cover some aspects of the creativity while we're trying to figure out the technical problem on this. You know, there are tips that you can use to amplify creativity in almost any business. You know, we all learned dozens, if not hundreds, of tricks that help us in business. But I ran across an article that I liked related to 9 tips one can use to give a booster shot of creativity to anybody who works for you, any department in your company. And it is something that is worth looking at. All right, let's start with 1. Create an environment of praise instead of fear. Because nothing dries up creativity faster than rampant negativity and fear of making a mistake. You want to have the kind of environment that is welcoming of ideas, that people know, hey, I can submit an idea, I can put forth a concept, and if it's off target, nobody's going to jump down my throat, but they're going to thank me for at least taking the effort to come out with an idea. And that's very important, because there's a psychological aspect of dealing in business that is extremely important, and it is something that is often overlooked. All right. When you have people that you're dealing with, and again, with a small business, it may be you by yourself, but you're dealing with people all the time. So whether you have employees or you don't, when you're dealing with people that you want to have a creative interaction with, you don't want to give them a million rules. You want to give them a few absolute ones and then let them have some free rein on everything else. You want to encourage people to come forth to you with ideas and see what can be done to help things move along a little bit better. So that is another point. Then there's also the thing, when somebody comes up with an idea, a really good, strong idea, what do? You give them credit for it. You don't take the credit. You give them the credit. You pat them on the back. You put them up on a pedestal. You recognize what they've done, because it is key to their success, and it is key to your success. If they're feeling successful because they've helped you, you are going to be much more successful because of that help. I wish we could do that with the technical problems I'm having with the computer system tonight. But we'll keep working forward and see if we can solve this thing, however it is driving me nuts at the moment. All right. right, when you see people do something that you feel is really positive behavior, you want to praise them loudly and often. You want other people to let them know that you appreciate the fact that somebody has put forth an effort that you feel positive about, because that will encourage others to be forthcoming and positive in the way they do things. So that is another thing to look into. But also, you want to be fair, but you don't want to tolerate non-performers. You know, keeping around dead weight demoralizes the people who are trying really hard. And, it's very frustrating. If you're always trying to one-up your staff, they'll quit trying eventually. If they don't solve the problem exactly the way you would have, great. But they gave it an effort. They gave it an effort. Now, another thing is to give people a clear, simple, lofty vision of where you want to go. Be very consistent to support that vision. Don't worry so much about watching the clock on the employees. If they accomplish the goals you want, let them figure out creative ways and times to make it happen. And then try to inject some aspect of fun into everything you do, right down to the office space. You know, you've seen what happens with companies like Google, which have offices, benefits, and fun. You know, do you do all this? You can have a fantastically, what I would call, best and brightest lining, the best and brightest lining up to work for your team. I mean, this is key. All right, I'm going to have to ask you to hold on because we're having technical problems with the computer that operates this connection. We may get disconnected here, and if so, we will try to get back to you as quickly as possible. This is a frustrating situation. But what can I tell you? It drives me nuts when something doesn't work right, and the technical aspect of it can drive you totally crazy. I'm going to ask you to stay on hold for a moment, and I'm going to try and fix this up. So just bear there. Go in the kitchen, get a sandwich, and I'll be back with you in a minute. Here I am back again. Sorry for the problem. All right, let's continue. There's always, the premise of this whole show is what can we do to provide some ideas that get you thinking a little bit more effectively, and how to, what moves people to do things. So let me tap into a couple of things that might be interesting to think about. You know, the ability to accurately define your precise market or markets dramatically affects, your profitability. Nothing shocking about this rule, but what is shocking is the extremely high number of small businesses in America that fail to define the exact market they will serve. Of the many marketing errors committed by small business, and the selection is embarrassingly large, this is one of the most glaring and common. take a one question test to see if you happen to be guilty of what I call precision. This marketing crime. Suppose you were quizzed right now as to what business you are in and what your company is known for. What would your answer be? Now, if you can't say it in your mind without thinking for a long time, or if your answer is long and involved, you're guilty of sin, a failure to position yourself clearly. And in doing so, you're making marketing's one of its biggest errors. You know, you must know to focus on key groups in order to properly define your market. And, you know, you want to know how to clarify that focus for you. So perhaps one of the best ways to do that is make a list of, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 of your best customers or clients. Ask and answer a number of questions to them. For example, what do they read? You know, expend the energy required to find out the names of these publications. Do they read city newspapers, community newspapers, industry newspapers, trade magazines, consumer magazines, newsletters? What shows do they attend? Are they national conventions, local trade shows, community events? To what groups do they belong? What business and professional group? What community group? What do they respond to? Phone calls, letters, on-site visits, emails, what other marketing tools impact them to respond? And how did they first hear about you? Was it through public relations, promotion, advertising, any form of the mass media, social media, email, internet, word of mouth? What? The more you know about how people hear about you, the more that you can focus on how to reach out to others to hear, to know about you. And also, you need to be talking to your customer all the time as why do they continue to buy from you? Now, is it your service? Is it your quality? Is it the rapport they have with you? And most important, because you've heard me talk about the WIFM factor all the time, WIIFM, what's in it for me, is what are their problems? You know, when you know the answers to questions like this, it makes it easier to understand your customers. If you know the shows that they're attending, maybe you can attend them or join the groups they've joined. You want to look to get on their wavelength as much as you can. You need to define, in your mind, you need to define your market. And then when you have that newfound insight to communicate with prospects just as you communicate with customers, now, keep in mind, a prospect is a potential customer, which is something at times I wonder if we forget. So there are a lot of different points to be made. Now, there's also an argument, how can I best phrase this, style versus substance. Now, you kind of emphasize the meat and potatoes of your offering rather than the plate upon which they're served. Now, you know, does your current marketing have style or substance? The ideal answer, obviously, is you have both. With style, it conveys your identity and captures the attention of your primary audience. With substance, your marketing makes essential points and motivates your audience. Now, keeping in mind, as I said, the WIFM factor, what's in it for me? That's what people are interested in. People don't really buy features unless they can translate those into, oh, these are the benefits I get. The feature gives me a benefit. Because people buy benefits. Whatever it is that you're selling, I don't care what it is you're selling, people buy benefits. So it is important that your marketing makes essential points and motivates your audience. You got to do your homework, know precisely who wants the benefits of your products and services. know, it's kind of apparent that there's room in marketing for both style and substance, but the smart marketer sees to it that both are obvious and that the product service always has a starring role, that your product or service has that starring role. Now, if you've ever had the experience of viewing a TV commercial, reading an ad, and wondering what the heck they were talking about, and you know you've seen that, you know what I'm getting at. In the early days of advertising, nobody needed special effects or computer graphics. You know, you want to be simple, while at the same time, as I said, you want to be creative. Creative revolution is upon us. You know, in the name of creativity, rather than the less glamorous but the more accurate name of selling, you know, millions and millions of dollars are being wasted each year, and that's probably a conservative estimate. You know, the creative rebels, award winners, almost every one of them, are carried away by style, and in the melee, substance sometimes gets lost. Marketing is not a dog and pony show. There are things that you have to do. In fact, I was in a discussion earlier today at a meeting with someone several people who come from the marketing area, and I was looking for people to define marketing. I wanted to see what you have, because each marketing so-called expert seems to have their own opinion. But I said to them, I stated to them description, a definition of marketing that I ran across in a book called Marketing for Growth, published in 1969. And it quoted a gentleman named Theodore Levitt, who was the marketing guru of the Harvard Business School at that time. And it was one of the best, and still to this day, one of the best descriptions that I have ever heard of on marketing. And Levitt said this: marketing is all the exhilarating big things and all the troublesome little things that must be done in every nook and cranny of the entire corporate organization in order to achieve the purpose of attracting and holding a customer. You know, it's all the things together. You are creating, in a sense, a marketing mosaic. You are creating something that creates this wonderful, wonderful picture when you put all the pieces together. And this is something that is often overlooked. And I think it's just a fundamental that you need to get to again and again. All right, we're going to take a moment. I want to just make a couple of other points to you, and then we'll get back to some topics. As I mentioned to you before, we have four LinkedIn groups: Smart Marketing for Small Business, Creative Thinkers Forum, Celebrities for Marketing, and Fearless Marketers. And we encourage you to go visit those. We encourage you to visit our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com. And more importantly, we look for you to connect with us. Let us know how we can help you do better. And that is to reach out to us at our email, marketingsmartly@aol.com. Also, for those of you who may be interested, and I say this with subtlety, I'm available for marketing presentations, for giving speeches on all aspects of marketing, the whole marketing spectrum. We can develop workshops that not only can help your employees, but also can be used as a marketing tool by you to clients that you're reaching out to. For example, if you are out there selling to other small businesses, we have our small business workshops. Same thing named after the show, the Smart Marketing for Small Business approach. And we can also intertwine and integrate your company into that presentation, which gives you a proprietary marketing platform in which to position yourself different than your competition by teaming up with us. So there are a number of interesting ways that we can help you. All right, let's get back to some things. The computer system is still all screwed up, and I apologize for that, but hopefully you are being able to hear us as we move forward on these various subject matters. All right. Let's see. Competitive advantage. That is an area that I think we should touch upon. You know, many of today's products and services are so similar to each other that the only difference is in their marketing. And, you know, they try to woo customers with, jingles, special effects, fancy production. But part of the problem also, and perhaps I stated this wrongly, is the fact is that everything they're doing is similar. The difference in many cases is not the marketing, because the marketing is a mimic environment. As you've heard me talk about the article that I wrote for the Philadelphia Business Journal, you know, do you replicate, are you a mimic marketer? Do you replicate, duplicate, imitate rather than originate? And unfortunately, that is what happens with most businesses. There's someone who leads, and everyone follows because, oh, well, they're doing it, they're successful, so if we do it, we'll be successful. But there's a saying, if you follow the crowd will not follow you. You have to be original in your thinking. You have to, you know, you've got to look at what kind of competitive advantage can you develop. You know, if your widget doubles a company's profitability, if it grows hair on bald heads or attracts lifelong love partners, this, you know, gets you attention. But many times, just the truth about your product or service will do very nicely. It's said that you don't have to wound a charging tiger all over. One well-placed shot will do the job. One well-placed shot of your competitive advantages. Its key is to identify your marketable competitive advantages and then stress them in all of your marketing. In fact, I saw something, I guess it was a couple of days ago. I was at some place, a retail store, and the individuals, salespeople, weren't smiling. You know, they were dealing with the customers, but they weren't going out of the way to be helpful. And it reminded me that one of the areas that is untapped is the power of courtesy. It is so important today, and it is missing everywhere. It's in business, business to consumer, business to business. It is something that you can build into your business very inexpensively, actually in most cases costs nothing, but can be extremely successful. And it is very bluntly innovative and creative when you do it on a basis. Perhaps one of the best examples was presented to me not too long ago, where someone sent me a handwritten thank you note rather than an email. And I showed it all over the place. It was fantastic. All right, we're going to wrap up in a minute. I just want you to spread the word every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock, even when we're not having computer problems. We look forward to having you at come listen to the show. As I said, we look forward to you contribute to the show. We want this to be your show, not our show, but your show, and want to know what subjects are of the most interest to you. We obviously ask questions of our listeners, our customers, our trade companions. We're always looking for what is out there. So spread the word, Smart Marketing for Small Business, every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock East Coast time on Blog Talk Radio. We would appreciate you doing so. I wish you the very best. May this be your best year ever. Then every year after that, even better. God bless you. Take care.